Hey there, my phenomenal listeners. Thank you for taking time out of your Friday night and tuning in to the Paranormal Prowlers Talk Show on KICH Grippalot Radio. I'm your host, DJ Prowla. So I've had a few people ask me about the pit bull, and I wanted to give you guys a quick little update about the puppy that we rescued a couple weeks ago. My boyfriend's brother actually ended up taking him in, and now they are the best of friends, and I'm so excited because now I get to see the little fella grow up. He is so adorable, and I'm just so glad we were there to turn that corner at the right time to see that guy boot that puppy out of the car, because we actually saved him, and now he has a great life. So there we go. Now, exactly 1 week ago today, on Friday the 13th, the paranormal world lost Art Bell. He's someone I really hope to eventually have on my show someday. So, you know, he will not be forgotten, and may he rest in peace. Now, last week I had law enforcement officer and paranormal detective Greg Lawson on the show, and he had a lot to talk about, including some interesting history about the area in Texas where he lives and exploring Egypt's pyramids and much, much more. This week's special guest, Karen Dahlman, was recommended by Ouija King Robert Murch. Karen is the host of Creative Visions TV. She's an author of Infinite Possibilities and a channel for source wisdom, having a lifelong connection with spirit beings, including extraterrestrials. She teaches ways to commune with the afterlife, the higher self, spirit guides, and other sentient beings that exist among us within the unseen dimensions. Within her message, Karen shares the positive side to the Ouija board as a tool for exploring the expansive realms of consciousness. She has been featured on Gaia's Beyond Belief, Coast to Coast AM Radio, and many alternative media programs around the world. Karen helps others discover and unlock their greatest selves, including their extrasensory perceptions, and engage these within the world. Karen holds a master's degree from the University of New Mexico in archetypal art therapy. She's a licensed psychotherapist and is experienced in hypnosis and past life regression. Karen also currently resides as a director of the Talking Board Historical Society. Karen, welcome to the Paranormal Prowlers Talk Show. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Good evening, Tessa. Hello, everybody. I'm so happy to be here and to have a nice Ouija chat tonight.
Oh, yes. Love, love, love the Ouija board.
So do I. That makes we got same thing in common.
Absolutely. Well, being director of the Talking Board Historical Society, I'm sure you do love it. And a big shout out to Robert Murch, who was on my 1 year anniversary show. He recommended you. He said you would love to have Karen on. You really need to have Karen on. She's amazing. And so thank you, Murch, for the recommendation. You rock.
Thank you, Bob. He's awesome. Bob's awesome. Everybody at the Talking Board Historical Society is awesome. They're just a bunch of really engaging, creative, intelligent people that are historians, artists, and most in forefront, they are collectors of the board. So it's a great group of people.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like it. I'd love to learn more about it sometime. And I know he lives in Denver, and my home is in Colorado. And next time I'm out there, hopefully this coming summer, I would love to go see his museum. I mean, he was talking about the collection of Ouija he has, and it just blew my mind. I mean, not only the boards themselves, but, you know, some of the history, like the articles and the pictures and, you know, just so many antiques. And I would just be in Ouija heaven if I actually got to go there and see it with my own eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. If you love the board, actually you can see some pictures of his, of what he has. He's done some videos of it. And also on our YouTube channel, there's also the Ouija Museum that we put together for San Francisco. Gene Orlando is in charge of that. He's also part of the Talking Board Historical Society. But yeah, if people want to check out some of these videos of even Robert Murch talking at OujaCon, myself talking at OujaCon, and also some of the videos of people's boards and using them and all kinds of things we share on that YouTube channel. Yeah, go check it out. It's TBHS, Talking Board Historical Society, on YouTube, so that you can get a chance to really look at these boards.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'll definitely have to check that out for sure. How many boards do you have, Karen? Which one's your favorite?
I would say it's not so much the quantity.
Yeah.
It's not about my love for using them. So I have 31 boards. That's a small number compared to most collectors, especially the collectors in the Talking Board Historical Society. But my thing is, I do enjoy collecting. I do love the rich history. But my favorite thing about the Ouija board is using them. And I use all of my boards, and I've been using the board actually since 1973. So the Ouija and I go way back.
Wow. Yeah, you do. Jeez, you go way, way, way back. That's awesome. How was your first, like, you know, encounter with the Ouija that many years back? Do you remember, like?
Oh, absolutely. I remember it was clear as day. It was an awakening moment for me. I was 8 years old. And also, just I'll share with your audience and you, Tessa, all my books I write are written with the help of my spirit friends who talk to me through the Ouija board, and they talk to me in other ways too. But so I do write about this, my first encounter with the Ouija board at the age of 8 with some girlfriends down the street. It's in my book, The Spirits of Ouija, 4 Decades of Communication. I tell the story. But in a nutshell, basically, 2 of my girlfriends down the street wanted me to come down and play some games. They pull out a Ouija board, and I really wasn't clear what that was. I just thought this was a different kind of game, didn't know what you did with it. And they said, well, you put your hands on this, they call it an indicator, and it will move around, and it'll spell out messages. I said, well, who spells out the messages? They said, well, ghosts do. I said, okay, that's cool. All right, let's do this. Well, unbeknownst to me, they said, we're going to show you somebody who we talk to and watch what messages we receive. And it turns out the message they were receiving was from their dead sister. Now, I didn't know they had a dead sister, but one of the girls in the room had a twin at birth who died shortly after birth.
Oh.
And they were kidding. Yes, they were communicating with this twin. Now, Tessa, the strange and the coolest thing about this is that this little child that had died as a baby was talking to them as if she was a 10-year-old, just like her twin that was in the room.
Wow, are you serious? Jeez.
Yeah, so that was my experience. I put my fingers on the planchette and started talking to her myself. It worked for me immediately. It doesn't work for everybody immediately. I got to say, I was called to it. It worked for me immediately. But I immediately ran home to my parents and said, it's true, it's true. You can communicate with the deceased. They do exist, and afterlife is real. You know, I'd heard about this in church. I heard about this religion, and there I was experiencing it, and it was changed forever that I said I really would like Santa Claus to bring me a Ouija board that year for Christmas. And sure enough, 6 months later, Santa Claus gave me a board, and it was December 25th, 1973.
That is awesome. Wow, that
is so... Tessa, it's my favorite board, it's sitting downstairs right now. It's on display, but I use that same board to this day. It's in great shape.
Oh, my God, that is, like, phenomenal. That is so cool that at 8 years old, you're at this, like, sweet little tender age where usually you're playing with, like, you know, I didn't, but playing with, like, dolls and whatever, and you're introduced to this Ouija board not knowing what it is, and then just, boom, from there on, you're kind of hooked, and that's really neat that you got one for, you know, Santa delivered and got one for Christmas, and that's so cool that you still have it to this very day. I mean, that you still use it. That's awesome.
It's a beautiful, it's circa 1972-73 board, what it looks like, and it has the original planchette with the original nail inside of it, which is the little indicator clear hole with the original plastic with the little brass tack. It's all the original pieces. It's still in great shape. In fact, if people watch me on my own YouTube channel under my name, Karen A. Dahlman, you can watch me use that same Ouija board to this day when I do my live sessions there. I love that board. It has a lot of meaning to me because it's been with me all these years. I didn't get into collecting until quite a bit later, I would say. I wasn't so much into collecting because I only need one board. I didn't need 10 boards to talk to the spirits. But when I started understanding the history of it and how the boards were all so different, so about 15 years ago is when I really started seriously collecting. So a friend gave me a board, and from there I just started adding more boards to my collection. And by the way, I have mine all on display too. They're in my living room and also on the walls. They're pretty much they're around my house, mostly in my living room. When you first walk in, it's like the wall of Ouija's right there to greet you.
That is awesome. That is great.
I think so too.
Yeah, that's exciting. And you know, 31 is a pretty impressive amount too. I mean, I don't even have one, and I love them. I would love to have one some. I know, right? I mean, okay. So, listeners, if you wanna, you know. Give me one for Christmas or birthday.
Boards are so fun to collect. If you have a love for them, they really are, and I'm glad I got into that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because of the history, because of the diversity of the boards, and everybody thinks that a board's called a Ouija board, but we know that's a trademark name, but there's talking boards, spirit boards, there's homemade boards, handcrafted boards, you know, special edition boards. There's so many types of boards up there, and you know, as you mentioned earlier, Robert Murchie has over 1,000 boards, and a lot of collectors in the group, the Talking Board Historical Society, have hundreds and hundreds, if not a lot of them have thousands of boards. There's so many different boards out there. That's the fun part about it. And and if you don't have a board, Tessa, you can make your own, because any board will work. I make my own all the time.
Do you really? Yeah, I'm like really a crafty person. Like, I love writing letters to people, so I always like handcraft each letter and card. I know, it's like, so if you want one, give me your address and we could be pen pals. But I also like do scarves. I just like, I love doing craft stuff. Like, you look at my office and it looks like workshop. My boyfriend makes fun of me saying, okay, like Santa. But yeah, I'll definitely have to maybe make my own, board and see what happens.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. People ask me all the time. They say, will this board work? Will this board work? Or will only that board work? You have to buy a traditional board. Or can you make one out of paper? And you know what I do? And I love to do this demonstration when I teach courses and classes on the board. I'll just take out a paper sack. Usually I pull out a Trader Joe's paper bag. That's where I shop. And I pull a Trader Joe's paper bag out, cut it open, lay it on this flip side so there's no writing on it, and I just write the alphabet on it, and I put the numbers on, and I put yes and no, and I take a double old-fashioned or a Pyrex dish or an old lid of a coffee can, and away I go. That's my board. There's nothing beautiful and fancy about it. It's just the fact that it's a tool. It's a tool for me to use. So I do appreciate the beauty of course, the boards.
Yeah.
But anything will work. It could just be chicken scratch on a piece of paper with your finger. As long as you know how to work this tool, it can work for you. That's the beauty of this.
That's interesting. So you don't really need, like, a planchette even, just like you said, just like a coffee lid or something. Oh, okay. Well, that's neat.
Here's a good one. Use an old CD. You know, people don't use these CDs that much anymore, or DVD. The hole in the middle could be your indicator. I've used that many times, and it's smooth. It moves quick, easily. Use a quarter. You can use, I've used so many different things. I've even taken one time, I just as a demonstration, I've taken my little digital recorder, my digital recorder I use when I record my sessions, and I push that around as the indicator. So when I work with the energies and connect with the spirits, as long as I'm connected with them, they can push anything. It doesn't matter. As long as it will move.
Yeah. No, that's good to know for sure. Well, I'll have to make my own board, Karen, and I'll have to send you a picture and let you show you what I did.
I would love to see it. I'd love to see how creative you are. You could do lettering. You know, you could do it any way you want. You could put images on there. Now, I don't. I just do a paper sack. But a lot of people do. And on my website, a lot of people have sent me pictures of them and their boards that they made. And I post them on my website. So I love to see everybody's ingenuity and creativity come out. And everybody gets into it. When you're into the board, you're into it. And right. I just love to see that. So, yes, please, I would love to see a picture of your board. And I would love to put it on my website and show it under my galleries section.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, that sounds like a great plan. We'll definitely do that, and I'll work on that for sure. And so, Karen, at 8 years old, before this event happened with your friend's deceased sister on the Ouija board, were you introduced to the paranormal earlier? Like, that's like early enough, obviously, but were you a skeptic when you were a child, or were you always a believer? Or
that's a great question. I really came into this world already seeing spirits. So I can remember back as far as the age of two and three, and I had my mom, and my dad told me his imaginary playmate, but he wasn't imaginary at all. And to this day, I could still communicate with him. But it was this little bean, and he would come to my room, and he was very kind and friendly. We'd play together. He'd talk to me. I talked to him, and it was telepathically. And I can go look back now. I remember his mouth wasn't moving, but I'd hear him talk.
Are you serious?
And then I went on and on with him until about the age of five.
Wow.
So a good 3 years is what I could remember. And I put him away when I went to school, meaning I thought, oh, I can't talk to him anymore, you know, because I'm supposed to go to school and other kids don't do this and I want to have friends. And so it was sad. It was sad in a way when I look back on it. But I talk about the odyssey of my work with him and how he influenced me in my life in my third book, the Spirit of Alchemy, Secret Teachings of the Sacred Reunion, because he really set the precedence for the work I did, I think, to do the kind of work I do in the spirit realm. I don't just work with the deceased, as you mentioned in my intro. I work with a lot of different energies and beings that are in various dimensions. But that happened. That's a progression of using this tool for 45 years now, 45 years this summer. And that becomes a progression of using something for such a long time that you really get to explore it. So he set the precedent for not being afraid of these other realms and dimensions. And so along the way, even 7, 8, 9, 10, I had other spirit beings come visit me. I can literally this day still see them.
Wow.
And then I tucked those away again because of school and work. And then since 1994, and actually sooner than that, but 1994, the beings that I talk to now religiously and devotedly that come through all the time have been coming to me since 1994, and I call them the guides. But it was in 1986, when I was in college, when I had a huge wake-up, epiphany moment of using this tool. Back then, I would just call it the Ouija board. Let's play Ouija board. That shift I had in 1986, I never used the word play. I said, let's work this tool. It became a tool. And that's when I had a major shift. And after when I had that shift with the tool, a lot of different beings started coming in and communicating with me.
Jeez, that's mind-blowing to me. That's phenomenal. So are you like a medium, do you think? Are you a medium?
Well, I don't call myself medium or psychic, but I will say this, I'm a channeler.
Yeah.
And so the tool is neutral. And I know Robert Murch talks about this too. The board is neutral. It does nothing. It's just a hunk of wood, cardboard, masonite, glass, metal, whatever it's made out of. I have one made out of glass. I have a bunch made out of cardboard, compressed particle board, masonite, wood. My oldest is an 1892-93 circuit board. So I have the gamut. They don't do anything. We do all the work. So if you ask me if I'm a psychic medium, I think people probably consider me more of a psychic in a way, or a medium because I could talk to the deceased. But I wouldn't consider myself that. I like to say I'm a channeler. I have the ability to see and hear and reach into other dimensions. And the tool became my permission or my excuse in order to do that. I, even though I could do it as a younger child, I didn't trust that I was really doing something because I was told that I was fake, I was making stuff up. Although I knew those experiences were real to me, I had to compartmentalize it in my life. It wasn't until I got a lot older, high school, then going into college, when I started realizing I'm really doing something here with these beings and there's information coming through and it's not so much this toy, this game that's marketed as a game or a toy for 8 years old and up. It was really something that I was adding to the equation for it, this device, to work. It was really me that was working, and the device just became, again, that instrument that I used to be able to do what I naturally can do, that we all naturally can do. So that's a long answer to say. I hate to say medium or psychic. I think there's a lot of that use out there, and I don't have a problem with that. I really just call myself a channeler, that I just can reach into other dimensions and channel what's there.
Yeah, absolutely. And Karen, it is sad when there's, like, I've had so many people on my show speak about experiences and then be called, like, fake or that didn't happen or you're crazy.
Right.
And it's just kind of like, no. And I've been so lucky and fortunate that my family is so accepting, and most of them are believers themselves, so I've never had that issue. But it is sad when other people are like, you know, I've seen, like, you know, a full-bodied apparition on the side of my bed talking to me, and mom said I was, like, you know, dreaming. And it's like, no, I know what a dream is. That was not a dream. So it is sad when sometimes, you know, people put you down for, you know, things like that. And it's just kind of like, you know, it's okay if you don't believe. It's a shame that you don't believe, but don't put down the people that do believe and, you know, have been living with it for almost their whole life.
Yeah, you know, skepticism is a good thing. It's great to have healthy skepticism. That's fabulous. But just to denounce somebody because you didn't express yourself is just, you know, that's a little too edgy.
Yeah.
It's really not fair. So it's more like you don't have to really believe, but just be open to hearing the stories. I 100% agree with you. And I say to any parents out there, if their children are coming to them with these stories, if they're seeing things, they can't explain it. You can't explain it, I would say. I would just have them draw it, write a story about it, you know, don't make it into a big deal, like, oh my God, don't do that. That's going to scare the neighbors or scare the kids at school. Just make it into, you know, tell me a story, draw what you saw, you know. And I say that too, because it's something that child will cherish when they get older. I wish I have that approach to my parents. I didn't. Now, I'll tell you now, my parents 100% believe me. My whole family does. They've all kind of pulled them up with me along this process. And, you know, they'll ask me for messages sometimes and see what I get. And they're definitely accepting of it. And they realized there was so much more that I was experiencing that, you know, they couldn't put their finger on. And they, just because they didn't experience it doesn't mean it was wrong for me. So often, this kind of segues into the whole topic of the Ouija board is often considered a joke by many, or it's marginalized, or you're marginalized if you use it, and there's such a stigma about it, and the stigma could be, oh, it's evil and demonic, and you're going to get possessed, or to the other extreme of, let's get obsessed with it instead of being possessed, but obsessed, and use it every day when you just love it so much. I would say I do fall on the edge of, I love it, I love collecting them, but do I use it every day? No. I found a healthy medium for me with this tool, but this tool can be perceived in so many different lights and so many different views that I think it's become one of the most feared or sought after divination device. It's really kind of crazy how that's developed over the years.
Yeah, exactly. And I just, you know, I remember when Merch was on and he was talking about how it was like just like a parlor game, like so many years ago, how like, you know, mom, dad, brother and sister and little baby would be playing it like it was just like life or like, you know, just like a Scrabble or something. And and now it's like, you know, you don't really, you know, I bet now a lot of kids, like, you know, at age 8 would ask for something like that. And mom and dad might think twice going, I don't know about that, you know, but like you said.
Yeah, it's true. Perceptions have changed. It came out originally as a novelty item or a game. That's what it was marketed.
Right.
And people, but again, when it came out, the spiritualist movement was in its heyday. There was a lot going on with that movement. And we had the carnage from, you know, the Civil War. When it came out, we had, then along came the World War I, and the heyday was like the 20s and 30s using it. And it was like people were suffering such death and loss, and they wanted to have a way to reach back out.
Yeah.
And this way they could do it themselves. So a board really became a way to empower oneself to connect back with their loved ones. It really becomes an incredible agent as well as a representation of what we can do ourselves when we really want to reach into these other realms. We have the abilities. It's all inherent within ourselves.
Right. And if you, you know, if you had the chance to talk to grandpa or grandma or, you know, your best friend or whoever is not here anymore that you miss so much, and there was an opportunity to actually communicate with them through these devices, like, why not do it? Why not even just, why not try at least and be open-minded about it? Absolutely. But
that's what I think, but a lot of people don't think that way. And you know, I respect that. I respect that. People have their own views and opinions. And like I gotta say, this tool is not for everyone. Just like tarot cards are not for everybody, and just like EVPs aren't, or dowsing rods, or the runes, or I Ching, or pendulums, they're not for everybody. You know, you pick and choose what tool you resonate with, and this just has been one that just, dang, it's I'm captivated by it. It's really, it's been a great odyssey for me with my time with this tool, my journey with this tool.
Absolutely, yeah. I need to watch some of your YouTube videos to see some of your collection and stuff.
Now, I started this thing recently where it was I think about it, or the guides think about it. I can't remember. Maybe I asked the guides, because the guides, when I work with them, they bring through different beings from their collective group or other spirit beings. They feel like that I would like to talk to or want to talk to me. And they bring through animals a lot. And so I've been talking to animals for, actually since 1996 when I first started talking to animals. But I've been talking to animals for a very long time. And they started this thing called the Mystery Guest Message. And I think we've released 3 so far on my YouTube channel, but we started using different boards. So you'll see me share my boards before I start a session, explain the board, give a story about the board, you know, a little history on it, and then use the board. So you get to see me talk about it, see the board, what it is, and when it was developed, and then watch myself, my partner use it. It's kind of cool.
Oh, that is and cool.
Get a mystery message from some kind of being, a guest message that's for humanity or for the session of the evening. So it's been very entertaining and fun, actually, and insightful and enlightening.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You got my attention. I'll definitely have to check that out for sure.
Oh, do.
Yeah, I will, absolutely. Now, Karen, you've been on Coast to Coast AM radio in the past, and I just mentioned Art Bell earlier. Did you have the pleasure to ever talk to the late Art Bell when you were on Coast to Coast?
Never, because George Norrie took over, I think it was 14 years ago. So I didn't have the pleasure of talking to Art Bell. There was a time, though, when I listened to Art Bell going way back, 96, 97. I listened to that whole show when it was Dreamland, actually, before it became Coast to Coast, when he started it. And I would listen to him, and I really enjoyed his show so much. And they were talking about the Ouija board. I actually talked about it often. But one night, and I was so compelled, because they were saying all this negative stuff about it. And at this point, I've been using the board, gosh, 23 years at that point.
Oh, wow.
23, 24 years. And I thought, I got to call. So I tried to call in, and it rang, and nobody answered. And I was like, oh, dang. And then I think at that point, they went to another segment, and it hung up or something. I didn't get through. But when I came out with my first book, The Spirit of Creativity, I know what it was. George Norrie had asked me to come on a show, and I was on for a real quick segment with Dave Schrader from Darkness Radio. And this was in 2013. And when my second book came out, The Spirits of Ouija, that was in October 2013. I've been on Coast to Coast ever since. I usually come on about once or twice a year, and they let me come on to be their Ouija expert to talk about the use of the board and you know, all my little adventures with it to kind of, you know, share some insights with it. So, yeah, I've been very fortunate and honored to be on that show and to feel like I'm part of the Coast family.
That's awesome. Yeah, I have a lot of family. My aunt, she's a huge listener of Coast to Coast AM, and my dad, when he was just like, you know, I think in his late teens and 20s, he would listen to it when, you know, coming to and from work, and he would tell me about that. So it is neat.
Neat.
Yeah, you know, I was very sad to hear about his passing.
I think everybody was. I mean,
yeah.
He started something revolutionary, what he started in the way of talk radio for paranormal and the supernatural. He started all. He's the father of this, and so he really started a huge legacy. Left a huge legacy behind, and George is doing fantastic with it as well.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, that was one person. I have many people who I want on my show. You know, I have a long list of people.
Oh, that's great.
And yeah, but Art Bell was one of those, and I was like, you know, he's probably so busy, he probably never would be, you know, be the type to be able to be on the show, but
never say never, I'm telling you, never know.
Yeah, for sure, but
now he'd have to come back to a Ouija board.
Right. Well, maybe someday we could do that.
We'll find out.
Well, yeah, for sure. That would be neat. But, you know, I have to say, as sad as it was that he passed away, it's always sad when people pass away, obviously, but, you know, how fitting was it to pass away on Friday the 13th?
I would say, dude, you went out in style.
Right?
On Friday the 13th. I think that was really awesome. He somehow that happened. I mean,
yeah.
Brilliant.
Right.
But it's full of things like that, really interesting synchronistic events that happen. There's so many weird, interesting intricacies and connections. And I think, you know, that's just perfect. That's just perfect for him. Just perfect for him.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. I agree that, yeah, that's exciting. I would love to die on Friday the 13th. many Friday 13ths away. Not soon, folks, but far, far, far away.
There's a lot of life left here to live.
That's right. And for my latecomers just tuning in, I have Ouijaologist Karen Dahlman on the show. Now, you did mention, Karen, about the Spirits of Ouija, Four Decades of Communication, that was published back in 2013. That's something that I love to hear more about. I'll have to buy that book and check it out because it sounds very interesting to me. That kind of title grabs at me. You know, it kind of gets my attention, and I'm like, I want to know more. What can you tell us about the Spirits of Ouija, Four Decades of Communication?
Well, yeah, thank you for asking. So when I wrote my first book, The Spirit of Creativity, that one came out, and people that put me on the radio, that put me on the first show I ever did was Coast to Coast with that book. And people wanted it, they understood that I wrote that book with the help of my spirit friends, and we did the Ouija exclusively. And they would give me writing assignments, and we worked together, we worked on topics, and they'd say, we want you to write about it, then write and come back in 2 weeks and share what you wrote. And it was like, they were like my editors and my teachers and my colleagues during the writing of the book. And so people were fascinated with the content, but also with how I wrote the book. And they said, now we want to hear the story of your spirits. Because in that book, the first book, Spirit of Creativity, they said, do not mention the Ouija board. Do not mention us, because it will really probably push people away. But once I started telling the story, and the content of the book is really awesome, it's stuff beyond, before The Secret was even out. The Secret came out, maybe Abraham Hicks, but The Secret, like the movie, came out, I don't know, was that 10 years ago? This book was written in 1997. It just didn't get published until 2012.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so it was way ahead of its time, because I was working with these wonderful beings to help me write it. So it's got some really cool stuff in it. But people said, now we want to hear your story behind working with the spirits through the Ouija board. And so that's why I called it Four Decades of Communication. It was exactly when I was writing it in 2013, when it came out, was exactly 4 years that I'd been using the board. And so it was important to include the whole Odyssey from the get-go when it started for me at the age of 8, and I talk about that story. And then I move on through all the years, and I give examples. I give lists of different experiences I've had with the board, the do's and don'ts, the trials and tribulations, the ups and downs of using such a tool and working with other people and people's opinion about you and the stigma associated. And I get into the different groups of beings I've spoken with and along the years and how things progressed for me, including a lot of the messages I had received over the years. And in that book, some people's names were not changed. I had the permission to use them as they are in the book. And some people's names were changed. But it definitely is an odyssey. And I get great feedback on that book because it is, to what I was told, is that it's like the manual that should have came with the Ouija board when they're sold. Because the Ouija board doesn't really come with many instructions. They're very brief. This one actually takes you through different steps and ways to work this tool, at least what worked for me. And I share those insights to see if it helps other people. And over the years, I've worked with many, many people. I've had many different partners and helped people use this tool. And these insights that I share in the book have helped them to be able to use the tool as well.
That's awesome. And, you know, what better person to write a book like that than a person who's had over 40 years experience? I mean, using the Ouija board, not like, you know, somebody with, you know, a few months or a year. You've been doing it almost your whole life. So, I mean, that's awesome. And just this, you know, looking at your pictures, you don't look like you're even 40 years old. Just saying.
Well, that's fine. I they figure 35. I go, you know what? I'll take it.
Right.
You can do the math and know how old I am. But you know, maybe it's genetics, I think, and health and diet and stuff of that nature. But there's days when I do feel older. but it was important for me when I was using this tool. And again, I was using it in the era pre-internet, pre-social media, pre-all this stuff that was out there. I was really in a vacuum using it for the most part. I did hear people's negative connotations with it, so I didn't bring it up a lot. But when I met the people who wanted to use it with me, then you know what? We did it. But the thing was is that there was nobody influencing me negatively about this tool. If somebody didn't like it, that was their problem. It wasn't mine. My family was totally comfortable with the fact that they gave me this tool, and I used it, and they had there was no fear about it. So I never had a fear, never had a problem about it. Right. And I have to say, those are the reasons why I get nothing but fantastic experiences with this tool. I mean, life-affirming, life-amazing, eye-opening, just phenomenal messages. I can just go on and on. It's made a major change, a major shift in my life. I couldn't see my life. I wouldn't want to see my life without have been able to use this tool and meet the spirit beings that I have. And by the way, Tessa, my cat Panther is saying hello to everybody.
Oh, I was going to say, I think I hear a kitty kitty. Hi, kitty.
Panther, Tessa says hi.
You're famous, well, Panther.
Every radio show I do, it doesn't matter what show it is, it's been coast to coast too. He loves to get in the background and yell. That's what he does. He plays and yells and... it's kind of hysterical. To me, it's kind of funny. I'll tell you why, because he talks to me on the board. All three of my cats, many animals have, but they talk to me, and Panther's featured in my Spirits of Ouija book. He's featured in there.
Oh, how cute.
Some of his messages and stuff, it's he's hysterical.
Oh, so, I love animals.
I love the animals, and I heard your story about the dog you guys have that you're helping, and that's fantastic. Animals are a
thank you.
They're pure love.
Yeah, I think I must have gotten it from all my family love animals, but my mom has horses and chickens and goats, and she's always rescuing animals and dogs and cats. And so, yeah, both of my animals, the dog and cat, they're both rescues. And then, of course, the little baby pit bull puppy. And yeah, they're very special creatures. Life would be very boring without the animals or the paranormal or the Ouija.
Oh, I'm with you on that. Check.
Now, Karen, have you ever communicated with a loved one via a Ouija board session/seance? I know you communicated with your friend's loved one, her sister, but have you yourself ever spoken with a family member or a friend?
I have several times.
Yeah.
People ask me, well, I want to talk to so-and-so. I go, well, so-and-so's got to want to talk to you, and so-and-so's got to want to come through.
Yeah.
And I find, some of the people I've spoken with, not so much my family members, but some friends that have passed away, it's not necessarily their way to use this tool, yet they'll come through, and I have an angel on their side. Her name is Mary Angel, and she's stepped forward and has become more of the mouthpiece or the helper to those of deceased that want to come through and communicate, who don't want to come through directly. And so she'll say, "So this is so-and-so coming through. This is the message he wants me to give you from him." I developed helpers, and in my book I talk about those people, and I tell people this all the time when they ask me, how do you get such success? I said, well, I develop helpers on your side. And back in the spiritualist days, they would call those the control. And to this day, spiritualists would still call those the controls. They're the ones on the other side that come forward, and you develop a friendship or relationship with them. And I call them in my books the bouncers or the misters and masters of the ceremony. So the ones who gatekeepers who help with the beings coming through, or kind of wait and to let each one pick a number, take a turn kind of thing. So with the help of those beings on your side, they'll help bring through loved ones that may not want to communicate directly through the tool. And it's also because it's not like it's bad, they don't want to. It's because it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of work and energy, and it's not quite where their aimed or want to go. So there's always messages that can bring those messages through. And so a lot of my sessions, people say, I want to speak to grandma, grandpa, or my passed away husband or something. What happens is, if they don't come through, there usually will be a message or some indicator of this is what he's experiencing now. This is the message he wants to give you. So it works very much like a medium. It really does.
Yeah.
But it's a tool. It's a tool, and I feel like I'm the messenger, but also the one who allows the messages to come through. I'm the intermediary. That's what I am. The intermediary between the worlds, between the realms, with this tool.
There we go. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what I noticed with the very little experience I have with the Ouija? I was just kind of sitting there watching as my friend, I was in Louisville and in Kentucky, and he comes from a family of witches, and he himself is a witch. And he has this Ouija board that I believe come from like the mid-1930s. And him and two other people were using it, and I was just kind of sitting there. I didn't ask questions. I didn't, you know, have my hand on the planchette, nothing. I was just kind of writing down the results. And my friend, who's with me all the time, he came through, and they started, like, every single thing he was saying made sense, and they were looking at me, and I was confirming. And I knew it was true, and I love telling skeptics this story because I wasn't asking questions. These people didn't know anything about me. Like, the two girls who came, I had met them that night. They knew only my name, and my friend was a new friend. He didn't really know me that much at all either. And so my friend was coming through, and they were kind of, like, you know, being guided. But then all of a sudden, and when they were using it, the planchette, it was smooth. It was, like, really nice and smooth. And then all of a sudden, he was gone, and this other spirit started talking, coming through. And all of a sudden, the planchette was very choppy and not using full words like my friend was. And, I mean, he was using full-on sentences, which it took, obviously, a long time to get all the results, like, you know, added up. But, I mean, this one was just, like, would go from H, C, Y, whatever. And it was super choppy and different. And even my friends were like, my friend was like, geez, this is really weird. This is not the same spirit now. And right. So it was very interesting just seeing that. I mean, there were times where it was so intense where the board was actually flipping on its own. It was just really, like, mind-blowing to me to watch that. Of course, I came in with an open mind and a believer, but I really wish a skeptic was there because, like, that would have turned them in a heartbeat, I bet, just seeing that moving and all that, you know. It was just pretty neat. I love it.
That's really a great story. That I love that. And I, you know, I've been around, well, there's many times I've used the board around different kinds of people, some believers, some non-believers, some skeptics, some like, this doesn't work at all. And I found that sometimes, let's say, if I give a percentage, maybe 80-85% of the time, if there is somebody in the room who is just such a non-believer or negative influence, and I'm with a partner and our energy is not quite gelled yet, like we're new at working, it's hard to have the energies to come through and communicate. But if I have the same person who's a non-believer, skeptic, or just even negative about it, and I'm with my current partner who I work with, anything, they will always, always come through. So I find, too, that when you work with this tool, it's super important with the partner you pick, and it's super important to build up repetition with that person over time, and then the energies get stronger and stronger, and then the messages do flow quicker. And the messages become more coherent, as well as now I get pages and pages. So it doesn't stop writing sometimes for 2-2.5 pages of just constant letters coming. So it really depends. But that's a great story because, number one, those people who were using it obviously had some good connections so they can get the energy flow. And number two, when the different energies come, spirits come through, I tend to call them more energies because it's not just deceased people that come through, other things will come through too. So I call them energies. When they come through, they do something that they'll change the way they maneuver the planchette. And so all of a sudden the planchette might start going a whole different direction, or it can move differently, like you said, kind of choppy or something. Yeah. And I call that spirit signatures. Each one's like our fingerprints. Each one's very unique. So when the spirits come through, my guides, the ethereal beings and the energies come through, I can tell who is who because that's spirit signature. After all these years of working with them, you know, it took some time.
Right.
Yeah, that's an important part you brought up. That comes with time to be able to get that kind of level of the shift and change of the energies like that.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. It is like you said, like you've had so much experience with this now that you actually, and it took a long time, but you actually know who is who now out of the spirit guides, and that is like really, really phenomenal to me. That's awesome. But yeah, it was really neat just seeing that for myself too. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's not my friend anymore. That's like somebody else. And
somebody else came in, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and like it just went from words to just like non-words. And I know sometimes words can be scrambled, and it's like, you know, I was trying to figure out what it was. And to this day, I could even still look at the paper and just go, I have no idea what they were trying to say. But yeah, it was very interesting for sure. And I definitely will have to go back to Louisville and do that again with my friend, because he's been doing this for a long time too. And so, you know, so much experience. It's neat. It's neat being there with somebody who has the experience and knowledge, you know, instead of...
to make the connection.
Yeah.
It's been working for such a long time that typically it will always move. So if I work with a brand new person, it will be like gibberish in the beginning because we don't have that same connection yet. It doesn't matter how long I've been using it, but if I get a new partner, it's always several sessions at least. And I have some really strong energies that come through, meaning they because I'm so connected to them, they can easily come through, say it that way. I'm so open to that, I allow them easily to come through. And even with that, with a new person, it still might take some time. So, I have different partners I use over the years, but I was really down to about four partners, and I was down to two, and now I'm really down just to one main partner. Although one of my brothers is really good at using this tool, and when we get together, sometimes we do use it together. But a partner I use now, his name is Rodney, and he is on my YouTube show and does a lot of the sessions with me. I can use the tool by myself, but I prefer to use it with somebody because it seems to work that much easier and better and more profound. And the words are just, you know, they just flow. So I was so used to using the board with a partner for 39 years. It wasn't until the last 6 years that I started using it by myself. So it, you can imagine, you know, 39 years versus 6 years.
Right. Yeah. And honestly, I didn't know that you could, that, you know, one person could operate it by themselves. Mm-hmm. I always heard that it has to, not even two people, but more than two. And, you know, so that's interesting. That's neat that one person can actually do it themselves. That's awesome.
Well, they can. It just takes, and I tell people this, and I talk about this and write about this and have articles about this on my website as well. It might take a little more time, a little more patience, a little more perseverance, and a little more persistence when you do it by yourself, because it's such a subtle movement in the beginning when you first start using this tool. And I know it's hard for me to remember back to that, but I do remember back when I first started using it by myself. It was me kind of like starting all over again, like I had not ridden a bike before or something. And so I had to be really patient and just allow it to feel that subtle movement. I'm so used to the movement with another person that I just have one finger on the planchette these days. It's just one finger, and I write with my other hand, and I'm just kind of multitasking. I can talk during it, and the messages flow. But wow. By myself, I'm a lot more focused. I put both my hands on it, and it goes. There really, you know, people say there's all these rules, and don't do this, and you can't do this, and can't do this. I'm here to say there really are no rules. But we came with a few items on the back of the board, you know, wipe your board off with a soft cloth, keep dust off of it, sit across the table or put the board on your lap, preferably a male, female, that's what the old boards used to say. Ask your questions and watch the mystery of the world, of the universe reveal itself. It's that kind of thing. There's all these rules out there on the internet and social media, and thank goodness I didn't have any of that when I was exploring and really learning these tools. I think that would have held me back. And I think it holds a lot of people back. You have to go to goodbye when your planchette must go to goodbye when you're in a session. You must put your board away. You can't use it in a graveyard. You can't let the planchette go counterclockwise. I mean, I hear all these silly things. I'm thinking, my God, I did all those things. I'm sitting out right now with the planchette on it, you know, waiting for me to go communicate. You know, there's so many silly, silly rules out there.
Yeah.
And there really don't have to be. We complicate things. But the bottom line is this. You develop your system. I call it a system that works best for anybody using this tool. And if it's one person using it, then, oh, my goodness, go ahead and do it. So it's going to be tougher, but you can do it. If it's two people, all the better. I find for me, when I have three or four, it gets a little chaotic, although I've used it with three or four people. And some people that are very much been using the board for a while, that it does work really well because we're all kind of jiving on the same level. But if they're not and they're all new, it's a little harder. So I recommend just two people at the beginning. But other than that, you know, I don't go to, my planchette never goes to goodbye. It just stops, and I verbally say goodbye because I want to be polite to my spirit friends. I mean, we really have a relationship.
Yeah.
We don't have to do all the bells and whistles, and my spirit guides call them baubles and beads. We don't need all that magic. Unless you want it. Now, I tell people, if you think that magic augments you and helps your own personal energy, it doesn't help the board. But if it helps your energy rise and get into a right frame of mind to do this or whatever it is you want to connect with, and it helps you get there, by all means, pull out those baubles and beads because they will augment your energy. But the board doesn't need it. The board's neutral. It needs nothing. We need this stuff, or we think we do.
Wow. Jeez. Yeah, that's that makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. And geez, that's neat that your brother does this too, and that's like pretty, that's a pretty neat bond that you guys like, you know, have together. But yeah, that's one thing. Sorry, that brother thing was kind of random. I just wanted to throw that in there. But yeah,
it's nice. Thank you for acknowledging that. I think so too. Thank you.
Oh no, you're very welcome. And that's one thing that I hear a lot too, is never leave the planchette on the board.
Right.
And it's just kind of like, they make it seem like, you know, it leaves it open for a lot of negative energy and spirits, and it's just kind of like, well, if there's negative spirits around or energy, leaving a planchette offer on the board is not going to help. It's not going to make a difference, I don't think. You know, it's kind of like, if they're there, they're there.
And if they're there because of yourself. We are energetic magnets ourselves. We're electromagnetism. We attract things to us, we pulse things, and we're just vibrating molecules as everything else is. It's ourselves. It's not, again, it's not the board. It's ourselves that draw things or attract it to us. So I could be right here in my home as I'm sitting here, and right here I'm sitting by my computer so I can talk to you on Skype. I got a microphone here, and if something's going to come in here, it's not because of board. It's because of my own energy, my own attraction allowing it in. And it's also my own energy and disallowance or pushing it or repulsion of it that's going to push it away. We see, this is the problem we get into when we get into this whole realm of metaphysics and supernatural and paranormal. We kind of get paranoid. paranoid. We kind of think, oh my God, there's something lurking, and if I get too close to it, it's going to be attached to me. And yes, there are negative energies. Yes, there are lower energies. It's like there's bad apples in humankind. I mean, when you're alive, when they die, they're the same. You know, if they were nice, they're nice. If they're ugly and mean and disgusting and angry, they're going to be the same. So yes, that does exist. But people don't give ourselves, humanity, enough credit for how powerful beings that we are internally, our inherent gifts within. We have the ability to be already protected. We don't need this whole gobbledygook protection ritual. But yes, if people think they need it, do it. Because again, that's going to help your own frame, your own mindset, your own frame of your system of which you're working. But we really don't need these drawn out beliefs or things that we think we have to do to use any of these tools or even to traverse into these realms. The matter of the truth is that we're part of that realm from which we came and which we will go again when we transition. It's not like it's this bad, weird, strange place. It's actually from what I've learned from all the communications I've had with the deceased as well as ethereal beings and other beings that are in other dimensions, is that it's really quite grand. And if you have those lower thoughts, that's the energy you're going to attract you when you transition, as you do now in life. I mean, it's just as common sense as you start your day and you're in negative space, you know, it's kind of sometimes hard to flip that switch to a different way of being. And so everything starts, you know, snowballing into more negativity. You keep attracting it, or you just keep bringing it to yourself. I've been in those days myself. But you know, you have a day when you're so excited and positive, you tend to be, oh, that's okay, that happened. You know, you tend to go, oh, it's all right, fly it off your shoulder, and you tend to be, you know, attract more of that to you. Well, that's the same working in this realm. We really have to check our internal beliefs, our fears. We have to look at what it is we desire, what our intentions are, and that makes all the difference. Those are the main ingredients that go into allowing this work to happen. It's really our own personal filters, beliefs, perceptions, who we are, how we see the world, and what we are afraid of, and also what we desire and intend.
Wow. Yeah, I'll have to remember that, Karen, because sometimes I don't want to say negative, but sometimes I am, and I need to just, like, remember to chill out and be happy and just, you know, I'll have to remember that for sure.
Well, that was the best of us. I mean, we're human, and we have a human experience in third dimension. It is a tough experience. We have our ups and downs, and we all have our emotions, and emotions is a beautiful thing. Sometimes they get the best of us. Sometimes they just take us to great, high, elevated places. Sometimes they take us really deep and low. But that's part of being human, and to not beat ourselves up for that. My guides always say, you know, really rejoice in the fact that you're human. It was all its toils and tribulations and trials and ups and downs. It's just because you came here, you chose here, and you are the chosen ones to be in this human experience and really see that first and just find a way to, you know, find joy in it when you can. And they understand that we get so caught up in things. That's what I'm saying. We get so caught up in things, whether it's the Ouija board or our life, you know?
Right.
And it really is just a drop in the bucket of a greater pail of water. It's just a drop in the bucket, everything that happens. And I know we get caught. I get caught in it too many times, but when I remind myself of that this one thing that happened that's really seems so horrible and puts me in a bad space, it's really, I'm choosing to be in a bad space, number one, and number two is a drop of the bucket, and number three, this too shall pass. That's a hard thing to remember, and I gotta say, it's hard for me to remember too, but I constantly, as you were just saying, Tess, I remind myself of this a lot, that this too shall pass, and it's okay to go ahead and shift my attitude and choose what it is I want to experience and feel in that moment of that day.
Absolutely, yep, and I will have to keep reminding myself about that for sure. Now, Karen, time flies. We only have 5 minutes left, and I want to ask you before we go off air about, in the intro, we were talking about the extraterrestrials. And, you know, I love spirits, ghosts, whatever you want to call them. I love them. I've dealt with them for years, have had so many experiences. But when it comes to aliens, extraterrestrials, UFOs, I am like a scared little puppy. I'm like, you know, ghosts won't abduct you. You know, like that's my thing right there. Like, yes, they can attach themselves to you, and I've dealt with that before. But, you know, I just, when it comes to aliens, I'll like run and hide like a scared little kid. What are your experiences and encounters when it comes to extraterrestrials?
Well, I've had quite a few over the years myself in person. I've seen them. I've experienced them. This is outside the Ouija board. I've also seen some really interesting ships and crafts in the sky. But I also have night vision goggles now, and I'm starting to see a lot of really interesting ships, including triangular ships in the sky. Weird stuff. I mean, crazy stuff. But I got to tell you, in 1989, I did an experiment with three of my friends. Two of my friends, it's three of us total. And for 4 years, from 89 to 93, we spoke with nothing but our higher self. And if other energies came through and wanted to communicate, we'd allow them. But we purposely wanted to make that connection to our higher selves. And with that, we started communicating with that part of ourself that exists beyond our human sense, our body, our humanity, and sends back into the dimensions from whence we came and which we will go back to eventually. So it's that greater part of ourself. When we did that experiment, that's when the other beings started coming through. That's when the ethereal beings came through. The angels started coming through. The animals started coming through. And guess who came through? Was the ETs. And so they didn't call themselves ETs, but they would really prefer to call themselves other kinds of spirit beings, or not spirits, excuse me, other kind of beings. A lot of them are humanoid. We'd be extraterrestrial to them when they're from other planets. But I had a group come through and talk to me about Maldek and the destruction of Maldek. And I didn't even know what Maldek was. This was like in 1989. And they came through and told me about the flame or the purple spiral and how to meditate on it. I mean, it's some crazy stuff.
Wow.
And at that time, it's like, I really talked to my higher self than the ETs. So I really said, okay, I wrote it all down and I have it in my journals. I keep copious notes since 1986 on every single session I do. So I have those notes. But then I pulled it back out, and I was a little fearful of aliens myself when I was a younger child. But I would say in the last 15, 20 years, I communicate with them when they are ready to come through. It's not so much you can just call them in, although I ask for them sometimes, and they do come. Some do come through. Most of the time, it's when they choose to. And they do flybys, and they say, we're up here, and we just wanted to see what this device is about. We want to talk to you. I've had that happen. And they can communicate in the English language so I can understand them, which is really interesting, too. But I don't have a fear of them as much as I used to. But in every group of beings, whatever dimension they're in, that you have bad apples, and so you're going to get that too. So we have to realize with humankind, you know, you have bad apples that are, you know, that can do something really horrific to you as well, as we see it all over in the world.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't matter what profession, just you're going to just have those people that have the worst of intentions. And
that's right.
And it is sad, but it's life, I guess. It's just, it is what it is now, but, well, that's neat. That's interesting. Yeah. When I was reading that, I was like, extraterrestrials. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we do talk to a lot of different beings. The list goes on and on, but yeah, they know they're always welcome to come through. Sometimes I get a message from them, through my other guides too.
That's interesting. Yeah. And it's neat that you have so many like spirit guides, you know, and they're just always there, and
we all do. I just said I was able to recognize mine and talk to them more. I had them as a child, but now I can communicate with them also in other ways. But
right.
Through channeling and automatic writing and dreams, they come through a lot. But we all have them. We all have a multitude of them in various dimensions. So I'm not exclusive to this, and I'm not special because of it. I've just found a way to be able to break that barrier and have these direct communications with them. And sometimes see them, as you've seen things too. So
yeah.
It's the same. Just going to another, it's going to a whole other level with communicating with different energies. That's why it's called energies, because there's so many of them, different levels.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think it's still really impressive that you, at 2 years old, had your, first one, and it's like, so many people, I don't have kids, never will, but it's just kind of like, you see people with kids, and it's like, they have imaginary friends, and it's just like, they're not always imaginary, like, they could definitely be spirits, just like, chilling out with your kid.
Which, that's why,
And
the best thing to do is not to get afraid of it, but
right.
Instead, like I said, have your child talk to you about it, and
yeah.
Your oral story about it. And then it becomes, then like I say, it's fear, it's not going to be something that's going to be negative. Our internal fear is what creates all this negativity out here. If we can somehow push that aside and see through this curtain, you can begin to see that things aren't that scary out there, really.
Right.
I'm more afraid of humans. I'm more
yeah.
afraid of humans than I am of anything else, all these other energies.
Right. No, me too. Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. I just, yeah, absolutely. And, that is the perfect spot to stop for the show, is just that. I mean, Karen, I really, the biggest of thank yous for joining me tonight, and you guys, I hope you enjoyed Ouijaologist Karen Dahlman and all the things she had to share. I mean, it was just awesome, all the things you had to share, Karen.
Well, thank you so much, Tessa, and thank you everybody for listening and being out there, and if you can always reach me at my website, KarenADahlman.com, or find me on YouTube under the same name, or Creative Visions TV. But yeah, if you have any questions about the board, I answer all my emails. I'd be happy to talk to you. This is a passion of mine. I've been doing it for a long time, and I really enjoy it. And it can be a very positive tool if you choose it to use it that way. And again, Tessa, thank you so much. It's been my honor, my privilege, my pleasure to be on your show. So thank you so much.
Oh, Karen, you're such a sweetheart. Thank you. And I'll definitely have you on some other time for sure.
Would love to.
Thank you. We'll talk later. Okay, guys and gals, I hope you enjoyed that show. Karen was a total sweetheart, and thank you, Robert Merch, for the recommendation. You rock. And listeners, do you know anybody, including yourself, that have paranormal tales they would like to share? Don't be shy. I sure am hell is not. Feel free to email me at paranormal_prowlers@AOL.com. And be sure to tune in next week when I have a woman named Jo on the show. She works at the haunted Birchwood Saloon in Alaska, and they are known for more than just their liquid spirits. Wah ha 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 ha. Till then, stay ghoul.